Thank you, honorable member. And, I think it's about time we start. You have a program before you, and then you need as the one, the last item, which will be consideration and adoption of oversight report and the committee meetings. But I understand that there is, we have a lot of apologies here, but by the time, if by the time we reach these items, we have a quorum, we'll deal with those issues. If we don't, we can deal with them in the in our next meeting. Now, the department is supposed to take us through their responses after yesterday's public hearing. Can we give the department an opportunity to take us through the responses? Thank you very much. Mwabelo.
Thank you very much, Chair. We have prepared our responses in the form of the written responses. I hope every member has the departmental written response. And also, there is a bill that we have indicated the changes that as a result of the written comments, we will suggest to the House to consider. I'm going to start at paragraph number 5, concerns raised by the Institute of Security Studies. There is a confusion as to the references of the word military superior officers as it appears in subsection 1 and subsection 3. The understanding there is that there seems to be referring only to superior military officer in subsection 1, excluding its reference to in subsection 3. Subsection 4 read, for the purpose of subsection 1 in military, superior officer includes any person, then this wording, according to ISS, they understand it to refer to only the superior military officer in subsection 1 only, the way it is drafted. And we considered it, and then we said, okay, maybe it will be better if in subsection 4, on page 6 of the bill, that is line number 9, if in subsection 4 we will replace of subsection 1 by of section of this section, that would remove the restriction or the perceived restriction of the reference to subsection 1 only. On page 6, line number 9, subsection 4, it reads, for the purposes of this section. So we suggest, due to this comment, that the House must consider to amend it to read, for the purposes of this section, so that it will remove the perceived restriction.
Well, that is the first.
Yeah, that is the first. Okay. And then we have crafted that into the bill that we could change in the word format, but that is the change that we submit to the House to consider. The second issue there is the jurisdiction in terms of a person and offense. Section 3 and 4 deals with jurisdiction in terms of the offenses. It refers to the offenses not covered in 2. In 2, that is where we list the grave breaches we extrapolated them from the Geneva Conventions, but we did not list them. We just referred to them as referred to in the first, second, third, and fourth convention and the protocol one. But and then in subsection three, we just referred to the breaches that are not covered in two, that are other breaches. So the issue here seems to be that why the difference? Why are we differentiating between citizens and non-citizens and the place where the offense is committed? Because this is for the purposes of granting South African courts jurisdiction. We are saying in the case of a grave breach, South African courts will enjoy universal jurisdiction, meaning it doesn't care where the offense was committed or who. But in the event of other breaches, the courts will only have jurisdiction in respect of offenses committed in the Republic or committed elsewhere by citizens of the Republic. So our response in that one, therefore, is that we are a little bit inclined more to use the provisions as they appear in the Geneva Convention. Okay, that should be all for ISS. Then the other written submission is from Southern African Litigation Center, where the first issue that they raise is the retrospective application of the Bill or the Act. The issue here is that the Act should provide for retrospective application because they perceive the Geneva Convention as part of customary international law. And if it's part of customary international law, well, we might as well just apply retrospectively. But our concern here is if it applies retrospective, then from when, from which date can we say Geneva Convention regime were considered to be part of customary international law? So that is our concern, and therefore we thought that in any event, we might as well just put a provision in the bill that will clarify the issue of the applicability of customary international law. That is why immediately after in section 6, we have included a provision that we would like the House to consider to answer this issue of retrospective applicability of the Act implementing the Geneva Convention, and we added that as subsection 4. It will be on page 15 of our revised bill. It will read, nothing in this Act should be construed as precluding a prosecution of any person who is deemed to have committed breaches under customary international law prior to coming into operation of this Act. On page 50, yeah. This is the mediation. Yes, we are answering the concern by the Southern African Litigation Center for the retrospective applicability of the bill. Okay, the other issue they raised is that the bill is silent on administration, who is going to administer it. And they said it is unclear how will the provision of the Act be invoked and breaches responded to. Our answer to that is that this bill, when it's an Act, it will be administered by the Department of Defense. But the prosecution for the contravention of the grave breaches and other breaches for members of the public will be through the National Prosecuting Authority in the civil court, and for members of the defense force, it will be through the military court. So we We also refer them to the definition of court in section 1 of the bill, where we indicate clearly that both military court and civil court will be used for to prosecute people who contravene the grave breaches and other breaches. The other concern that it is raised also is the issue of interpretation clause, of which they say that we should have a clause similar to the clause in section 2 of the ICC Act. I'm trying to get the ICC Act so that they can get that. Okay, yeah, okay. Is that law similar to that law in ICC Act where it spells out the interpretation of the Act? We are saying that the House must consider including the provision similar to Section 2 of the Rome Statute Act. If anyone has it, can read it for us. Okay. And I'm trying to get it here. Okay, it is on 2A. It will read applicable law. Then it will read, in addition to the Constitution and the law, any competent court in the Republic hearing any matter arising from application of this Act must also consider, and where appropriate, may apply conventional international law, in particular the conventions, this convention, customary international law, and comparable law. So we don't see any harm in including this provision in the bill. So if the House accepted this recommendation, then this clause will come just under clause 2, object of the Act. Then it will become the new 2. If the House agrees with us, we are saying the House can consider including it. I don't see any harm, and I also don't see any harm even if it's not included.
Mother, you must give us an advice here. You can't say it.
Okay, I would recommend to the House to include this provision. Okay, there is also a concern that the crimes created by or in this bill should be classified as priority crimes. In terms of the South African Police Act. The South African Police Act has a schedule at the end of it where they classify some type like corruption as priority crime so that it will fall under the priority crimes litigation unit within the MPA. So the purpose there is to give it a high status. So we are saying as department, we don't have a problem with that, but that should be a policy decision of government. If the House thinks that this is the case, then we will have to check with NPA and SAPS if they will be able also to accept the offences under this bill, under this Act, as priority crimes. Maybe if they do, then we will have to consider amending the South African Police Act to include offences under this Act. The other concern is on definition. They seem to think that we need to define a wet person to include both natural and juristic person, because the bill as it is now, it doesn't define person. But we say that we left that word deliberately because it's already defined in the Interpretation Act. So we need not rewrite that definition in this Act. So the other controversial issue is the issue of indirect participation. Here the suggestion is that we should not only consider a person who directly commits a grave breach, but those who indirectly, those who may even assist others to commit the breaches of the convention or of this act. But we are of the view that the aiding, the abetting, the attempted, and so on are already provided for in the South African criminal law as part of common law. So we are of the view that we need not repeat that in this act. I think this should be okay. Number 13, here the issue is the concern about jurisdiction. As in section 4, subsection 3 and 4. Subsection 3 and 4, that is where there is limitation of jurisdiction in regard to the person and to the territory where it is committed and the type. If the offense is a grave breach, then there is universal jurisdiction. If it is other breach, then it depends. If it is committed in the territory of the Republic, the courts will have jurisdiction. And if it is committed outside the territory by South African citizens, the court will have jurisdiction. So the issue here is in relation to Section 5 that refers to the superior military officer. The understanding seems to be that in the case of superior military officer in Section 5, that restriction falls away as in subsection 3 and 4 of Section 4. But that is in fact not the case, because in Section 5, we are referring to the grave breaches of the convention. So the same principle of jurisdiction will still apply. Whether it's a military superior officer or any other person, the principle of jurisdiction will apply whether the offense was committed in the Republic, whether it is grave breach or other breach. So the last issue from the litigation center is immunity from jurisdiction. Here the concern is that the bill does not contain reference to either functional or personal immunity from prosecution. And our answer here is that the issue of immunity from prosecution or jurisdiction is dealt with in Diplomatic Immunities and Privileges Act. So we need not repeat that in this act implementing the provisions of Geneva Convention. I think the same principle will apply. Even in here, the principle enunciated in that act that deals with immunities and privileges will apply, even if that person maybe has committed an offense still in the office in the case of the serving minister, the serving president. I'm now going to Civil Society and Prison Reform Initiative. Their first concern is that there is no definition of the word grave breach in the bill, meaning the bill does not expressly define what a grave breach is. But we have taken a leaf from the provision of the Geneva Conventions themselves. They do not define what a grave breach is. They only describe them as in Article 50 of the First Convention, Article 51 of the Second Convention, Article 130 of the Third Conventions. They only deal with what are the grave, they list them. They list the grave breaches. They do not define them. And we thought that it would be better if we craft the act in such a way that it doesn't deviate from the principle and provisions of the Geneva Convention, as this act is intended to implement the Geneva Convention provisions. I think the other issue that they raised that I think we missed here is the issue of jurisdiction. I think I've already answered the jurisdiction in terms of 4 and 3. Yeah, I think I've already indicated that we have already answered that one. The outstanding issue will be the amendment of the South African Police Act to prioritize the offenses in terms of this act. Thank you very much, Chairperson.
Thank you very much, Marana Mwabel.
The third law advisor is here. Maybe you will want to add some other.
Okay. No, thank you, Chair. Not at this stage.
Okay. Honourable members, any comments? Honourable Daniels?
Thank you, Honourable Chair. Chair, on the Institute of Security Studies, I'm not sure if I heard well. On Section 5 of 4, what the department was saying that rather we say for the purposes of this section. I don't know if I had correct, but I think I agree with that, if that was what it means. Yes, on the jurisdiction, the department, of course. It's supposed to be the one that, because we're dealing with issues of military nature. And I think also it's clearer now, as opposed to what we've been, the presenters yesterday were talking to. The court, of course, the military and the civil court. But then there's this question of Rome Statute. That is not very clear as to what exactly does that mean. Does this then suggest that what we already have domestically will go away if the Rome Statute says something else? That is still not clear, Chair. And the question of the customary international law. I think also I agree with what the department has said, that we are not running away from in any event, it will be difficult to decide whether, okay, there's something that the department said, they're addressing the customary with regards to the prosecution of war crimes be inserted in Section 6. Because you see, yesterday morning, even the presenters were not sure as to when these protocols were introduced, or what do we say? What's the term that is used? They gave us 3 different years of ratification. So, yes, it is admissible for us to reflect on that, for the fact of recognizing that. But then the problem is that ratification, when was it done exactly? In terms of the international customary law, even though for me it's still very sketchy, but at least I understand what it means. I think, Chair, the department also talked about prioritizing these offenses. Is it something that we need to do, or the Police Act needs to do? Do we have to do that? Because already, or what we have in that act is just lax, or it needs to be tightened, or what? We will need advice from the Department of Law. I think, Chair, for me.
That's all from me. Thank you very much, Honorable Janice. Honorable Madia, can you sit that mic? Can you sit that mic?
Chairperson, I'm just interested to understand if, like, an act has the authority to prescribe to another department to amend its act. Because from the department, as I understand, they are suggesting that either whether the Geneva Convention implementation will then have to recommend that the police amend their act. So it's an area that I'm not clear of, because I don't think that we can legislate on expectations. When we legislate on the basis that the act itself will stand its ground without being dependent on the other legislation, unless otherwise.
The problem is that Mr. Mwabeno thinks we know about the Police Act. We don't know about the Police Act. We do not have it here. It's up to the committee to decide as to whether we want to make these priority crimes or not, as to whether there is another act or. So I think that should be the approach. But you'll elaborate on that, Mr. Mwabeno. Thank you very much. If there's nothing else, let's give him an opportunity to take us through.
Thank you very much. I will start with the priority crimes. The Criminal Procedure Act has schedules at the end of it where it classifies the crimes, whereby then they prescribe the minimum sentence, for example. So if, for example, Environmental Affairs Department wants to classify the environmental crimes to fall under one of those schedules for purposes of prescribing minimum sentence, they can do so, but that should be with the concurrence of a department administering that act. That should be Department of Justice for Criminal Procedure Act. So in this case, if Department of Defense wants the offenses under this act to be priority crimes, then they will have to approach the Department of Police for purposes of amending their schedule to include the offenses under this act. Yes, it is possible that we can include a provision in this act that will amend the SAPS Act as far as the schedules are concerned. We can do so. But I think it would be wise to talk to them first, or to decide whether we want the grave breaches under this act to be priority crimes. If that is the case, then we will have to approach them. Then on the issue of the relationship between the Rome Statute Act, the ICC Act, the act that implemented the provisions of the Rome Statute in South Africa, we have included the provision that addresses the issue, the relationship issue between the two, in section 19 of the bill. We have included it where we say in the provision of this act must not be construed as limiting, amending, repealing, or otherwise altering any provision of the implementation of the Rome Statute of the ICC Court Act 2002, or as exempting any person from any duty or obligation imposed by the by that act, or prohibiting any person from complying with the provision of that act. I think the problem here is that this act, the Rome Statute already deal with the war crimes that we are also trying to do here, but this act is implementing the Geneva Convention. That act was implementing the Rome Statute Act. But the subject matter is almost similar. It's the war crimes. Thank you very much, Chair.
Thank you. Tell me, the grave breaches are already covered in our domestic law. But they are already covered, maybe not all of them. They are already covered as priority crimes. Should we understand it that way?
No, I'm not aware of whether they are covered as priority crimes, but they are covered in the Rome Statute Act, the 2002 Act, administered by the Department of Justice. They deal partially with Geneva Conventions, war crime issues. That would include the grave breaches. But as far as I know, that act, they don't prioritize them.
Thank you, Chair. If I just may, the Rome Statute Act was drafted for a specific purpose. To bring people before the International Criminal Court, and but South Africa, as a lot of other countries, what they did is to enact the legislation, but they kept the primary jurisdiction over the international crimes in our country. So we have the right first to try people here before we if we don't want them to go to the ICC. So in that sense, this act complements the Rome Statute. It's not the Rome Statute definition or list of grave breaches is not exactly the Rome the conventions. That is why in this act we didn't list them, because it must be read in the context, as Africa Morbelli said, in the context of the of the conventions. Dealing with the question of priority crimes, that is not a consequential a consequence of this act. So it can't be done. I think I don't want to speak for the parliamentary legal advisor, but if we want to do that, such an amendment there would be, because it's a new, it's not part of this act. It would be the approval of the House would be needed to do that.
Honourable Minister.
Chair, just a question of clarity. In respect of the Civil Society Prison Reform Initiative, they raised four issues. You dealt with one. Why?
I think the other issues, we thought that they are covered already by other people who raise concerns, like the jurisdiction issue, for example. So we didn't want to repeat what is already being, what we have already been answered to. But if we have missed anything, well, we are more prepared to consider it again. There's no problem.
Thank you. I think that is sufficient. What do you recommend? You recommend that these grave breaches should be classified as priority crimes. Is that what I hear you recommending?
Gene, not no, because in terms of the conventions, these are by the nature of these offences, they would be priority. So I don't think it's really, it would be premature, and I think there need to be research made to make sure that it would serve a purpose having it as in the Criminal Procedure Act as priority. By the nature of the conventions, these are priority crimes.
No, you've answered the question. We don't need to do that. Honorable Mazia?
Yeah. Chairperson, I'm not sure whether Mr. Nkwane was referring to the Police Act or was referring to the Justice Act, because the Criminal Procedures Act falls in the Justice Act. Yeah. Which one do you say you would recommend that it be amended?
The recommendation from the written submission is that we amend the SAPS Act, where there's a schedule that lists the priority crimes.
No.
Okay. I think it falls out now. It's no more an issue for us, because if we say already they are prioritized, we don't have to put it in black and white and say let's prioritize and leave making people to other department to amend acts unnecessarily. Maybe we should leave it as it is. Thank you very much. No, any other question?
No object.
Honorable members, then we will come, the next phase will be deliberation on each clause. In order to make necessary amendments, we'll do that next week, and then we will not go into the adoption of the reports, because we do not form a sufficient quorum for that. We'll do that in our next meeting. Therefore, we'll have this meeting adjourned until Thursday, Tuesday next week. Thank you very much.